Isn't that a great thought? There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary, where Jesus takes away, through his death and resurrection, our sin. And he lifts us up and encourages us, gives us eternal life. So glad that you're here, whether you're in the sanctuary, whether you're in the parking lot listening on the radio, whether you're later in the afternoon or next week listening on the website, but we're so glad that you've come to worship with us here today at Barbie's Grove. And I know Leonard will say more about it later, but looking forward to next week. All of you early birds being here at 6:45. Some of you with your eyes open and some just here. But we're looking forward to a great time of worship on Easter Sunday. May we pray. Lord, it's good to be in your house, to worship you, to praise you, to honor you. For truly Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you, Father, that we get the privilege of bowing before him now, knowing that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall praise him and give him the glory. Things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, all will praise him. But Lord, we just enjoy praising him today, worshiping at the feet of our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed, and good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all this morning and smiling faces. As we do every Sunday, we'll start off with a hymn sing. And we still believe in singing the old hymns of the church as well as other music as well. So this morning, since this is Palm Sunday, we're going to be thinking a lot about the cross before this week is over. And then we'll think next Sunday about the victory and the cross. But let's all stand this morning and sing the old rugged cross, page 141, if you like it. Otherwise, it'll be on the board for you as well. The old rugged cross. All verses, please, as we sing.
Of spring.
welcome somebody this morning, if you would, please. While we are welcoming this morning, I'm going to take this opportunity to welcome a couple special young ladies who I have been missing so terribly. And I'm almost going to cry to see you this morning because I'm so happy. And Anna and Angela, we welcome you back to church this morning. And your little friend with you, what's her name?
Robin.
Okay, welcome to you, my dear, as well. I look over on the other side and we see Pam's brought the family with her this morning. And we welcome Tim this morning, her brother. And we welcome Jill, the sister. I know we're going to have a duet in a little bit, and I did thought Tim show up this morning. We might have a trio, but I'm not sure. Tim shaking his head, no, that's not going to happen. But we welcome you this morning. We welcome all you as our guests this morning. Our visitors are always our special guests, and we welcome you this morning. If you would, please, Wes, put that schedule up you had a while ago on Easter. I'm going to go ahead and cover that now. We kind of made a little goof on the original in your bulletin. It's my mistake. And the fact is that we are going to have Sunday school next Sunday. And so please we have breakfast at 6:45. Will be sunrise service. And then 7 o'clock will be breakfast, and 8 o'clock Sunday school, and 9 o'clock will be worship. I'm going to need you cooks here by 5 or 5:30. So come early, and we will cook breakfast and be ready to go. So that's our Easter morning schedule. I want to get that corrected to you right away, if I may. Other announcements that I have for you this morning, we will continue on at the same service schedule after next Sunday. We'll be right back where we were before. But let's talk about Annie Armstrong. Annie Armstrong this morning, this week, and also the week of prayer this week. And the offering for this year is $70 million across, and we will be collecting during the month of March and April. So keep that in mind. And I had a total there somewhere for so far, but I seem to have made it miss. But anyway, we're doing well. Just keep them coming, and we'll be absolutely. Then NC Baptist Children's Home Food Drive. NC Baptist Children's Home Food Drive was also now in progress. And you bring your food items and make it, and your financial gifts, and have them here by May 1. And that'll take care of that. So keep that coming. And that's all the announcements. But let's remember that we also have a chance where UCane release and NC Baptist missions and the Samaritan's Purse. If you want to support that group, I got to tell you, Pastor, I think you'd agree, Samaritan's Purse is always there. And if you look around, anything that happens in this world, any kind of tragedy or any kind of need, Samaritan's Purse will have somebody there. And so that's be a great, great group. And NC, of course, our NC Baptist do the same. So let's remember those as we go. Any announcements that I may have overlooked? Okay. All righty. Let's go now to our prayer request. And I talked to Shirley and Leanne Morton, Shirley and Leanne, this week. And Shirley has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And the dementia is not quite as bad as it will be. I'm afraid to have to say that. But Shirley is doing okay, but they have asked for our prayers. And in doing so, the family has asked for their prayer for them as well. And you know what type of support that requires. So keep that in mind. And while we're talking about that, Heath Hahn has returned home, and we're glad to be able to say that. But Heath is still standing in the need of prayer. So is Miss Kitty, and so is the entire family. So keep that. They're going to be taking care of Heath at home. So let's remember the caregivers. And while we're remembering caregivers, let's remember Tonda as well, and Tamara and Lionel, all of those, as Miss Birdie is requiring home care as well. Let's remember those people. They give a lot of themselves and a lot of their time, and they give it in love and no complaints at all. But let's pray for their strength and courage, and let's do that as always. Okay? Are there other announcements, other prayer requests that I may have overlooked?
I have some positives. I chatted with Tim yesterday, and he's doing better.
Okay.
He's appreciative for the prayers and continue keeping him in prayers.
Okay. Okay.
But she's doing well, and her foot has healed, so hopefully she'll be able to start some physical therapy to get that back on track.
That's good news. So she's getting along okay then?
Oh, yes. She's doing really, really well. Enjoying it.
Okay. Are there others? Yes, Stacy.
Lauren and Tom are in Iceland. They're on the trip.
Okay.
So pray for them for safe travels and travel and back.
Okay. Laura and Tom, and we'll pray for traveling mercy for them. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for another opportunity you've given us, Lord, and a special day, Lord, as we now observe the Palm Sunday. Lord, we know as you entered the city and for victory, the victory ended up just a little bit differently than what the people expected, but Lord, we do thank you, Lord, for the great sacrifice that you made and on our behalf. And Lord, as we sung the song of the cross this morning, we thank you, Lord, for going to that cross for us. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, always for salvation. But now, Lord, as we look at those among us, Lord, that stand in need of prayer, we want to bring them to all of our attention this morning in prayer. We lift up this morning Shirley Morton. We pray for her as she is going to be dealing with Alzheimer's. We pray, Lord, for your healing, if it be your will, and or your strength and your courage for her. The Heath Hahn family, Lord, we pray for Heath as he's back home now, Lord, but we pray for the family who will be supporting him as he tries to, and will get better, Lord, by your blessings. And then, Lord, we pray for all the caregivers, Lord, in our church that are working so hard to give care to all the family members. We want to lift them up to you this morning. And Lord, we pray for Tim Smith. We lift him up to you this morning as he continues to convalesce. We pray, Lord, for his healing for his body. And then, Lord, we pray for Laura and Tom as they are traveling today. We pray for traveling mercy for them, that they will be returned to their families safe and sound. Now, Lord, we ask your prayer upon our special service today. Those who sing, Lord, we lift them up to you, Lord. And then, Lord, we pray for Pastor Ed, who will be coming for us and giving us a message today. And then, Lord, again, we thank you for an opportunity you've given us. And, Lord, how many blessings you give us each and every day, Lord. We're so thankful. Now, Lord, we ask this prayer, Lord, in your special and your name. We pray, Lord, for that in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. All right, this morning we are indeed blessed in our praise section of our music to have a special guest this morning singing with Pam. And that would be Jill. Miss Jill is going to come. So if you would, please, come and bless our heart.
I was looking at some music a few weeks ago and came across the song Easter Hallelujah, first time I'd ever heard it, and I sang it and thought, the Lord wants me to sing this at church. It scared me to death. I knew I didn't want to do it by myself, and my sister said she would sing with me, so I really appreciate that. If you will, hold us in prayer. We're fighting allergies, you know, this time of the year, and nerves, so we appreciate your prayers. And I'm so happy to have my brother Tim here today. I feel honored that he's here with us today. Amen.
Which is
soldier who had used his sword to pierce the body of our Lord said, "Truly, this was Jesus Christ, our Savior." He looked with fear upon his sword, then turned to face his Christ and Lord, fell to his knees, crying, "Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!" And wrapped him in a linen gown and laid him down to rest inside the tomb. The holes in his hands, his feet inside. Now in our hearts we know he died to save us from ourselves. Oh, hallelujah.
That Jill is a signer with sign language, and she does that in ministry.
One thing before the pastor comes, I forgot to do something this morning, very important, as I'm prone to do sometimes. Look around this morning, how beautiful these decorations are. We have to say special thank you to Angie and her family for these decorations that are up every season. She never fails. And then when you go downstairs, it's all over again down there. So thanks a lot for the hard work. God bless. Pastor.
Children's Church. Thank you, ladies. Appreciate that. That was a blessing. When they get grown, they'll be pretty good. How would you like to write something prophetic and know that a year from now it'll still be good? How many of you say in 2015 predicted COVID? Never heard of COVID, right? What about writing something that would be good for 1,000 years? It's amazing The last several weeks, we've been looking at the crucifixion, but we've been looking at it from the Old Testament. And you remember 2 weeks ago, we looked at it from the first of Exodus at the Passover and all that that signified about the crucifixion. Last week, we looked in Isaiah 53 at all of those things about the crucifixion. Well, now today, we're going to do that once again. We're going to look at the crucifixion of Jesus from the Old Testament. And we're going to do this in Psalm 22. Psalm 22. And it's amazing how in this psalm, David says so many things, prophesied so many things that came true on that morning when Jesus died on the cross. I can't imagine what David thought as he communed with God and he wrote these words. And perhaps went back over and read them and said, well, I wonder what that means. Wonder what that means. Because after all, crucifixion was not even heard of when David wrote this. It'd be like going back 1,000 years and somebody predicting death by firing squad when there were no guns. Or death by electric chair when there was no electricity. And here, 1,000 years before Jesus died on the cross, David says so many things that are directly related that we see on the day that Jesus died. And we'll be from Psalm 22 and we'll look at some verses in Matthew to corroborate it, and some verses perhaps in John. But the very first verse of Psalm 22 says, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring?" Now in Matthew 27, verses 45 and 46, we read this. "Now, from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The very same words that David wrote 1,000 years earlier. Jesus said them on the cross. And I think Jesus felt so forsaken because the first time in his existence, his Father God had turned his back upon him. Now, in one of the last verses that Pam covered in the Sunday school lesson this morning, Jesus talked about the disciples leaving, and he says, I'm alone, but I'm never alone because my Father's always with me. But when Jesus took on the sin of the whole world, in fact, the Bible says Jesus became sin. And because the Father is so holy, he cannot look on sin. In a sense, he had to just turn his back on his Son dying on the cross. And for the first time in his existence, Jesus felt that awful loneliness. That awful feeling of abandonment. And he cries out, my God, why? Why have you forsaken me? And David said, this is going to be the way it's going to be. Now, when you look at Psalm 22, verse 7, verse 6. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. You know they hated him. The scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they hated Jesus. They stirred up things against him. And something I was reading this week says that the word worm here really talks about a type of worm that when crushed produces a red fluid that they could use to dye clothes. And then that was a symbol of the blood that Jesus was going to be shedding on the cross. Amazing. That David said, this is the way it's going to be 1,000 years earlier. But then he goes on to say in verse 7, all they that see me laugh and to scorn and shoot out the lip, they shake their head saying, he trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. Well, flip over to Matthew 27 again. And verses 39 to 44. See if this sounds familiar. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroyest the temple, buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise, all the chief priests, in mocking him and with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. How much that sounds like. Verse 8, he trusted in God that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him. 1,000 years earlier, David says, they're going to walk around him and they're going to mock him. And they're going to say he trusted in God. Let him deliver him. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened at the foot of the cross. The scripture tells us that it was there in a public place, maybe where some, like at a crossroads and people coming by. They laughed, they mocked, they disparaged Jesus. And all because they didn't understand who he was. And David said, that's the way it's going to be. Long before it ever actually happened. Verse 14 of Psalm 22. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me to the dust of death. Poured out like water, bones out of joint. Can you imagine beaten and whipped, drug that cross till he collapsed, and then Simon of Cyrene was given it to drag it the rest of the way? They nailed him to the cross, picked it up, dropped it into a hole. What that would have done to jerk his shoulder muscles, shoulder joints, everything out of joint. And he says, when my heart is like wax, melted in the midst of my bowels. Do you remember when the spear was placed in his side and it said, brought out like blood and water? A sign that his heart had already exploded. He gave his life for us. Verse 17 of Psalm 22. I may tell all my bones, They look and stare upon me. The crowds. And I know that in the pictures that of the crucifixion, there's always some loincloth or something around Jesus, but it would have not been that way in real life. He would have been stripped totally naked. And for a Jew, that was an ultimate shame. Verse 16, for the dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have closed me. They pierced my hands and feet. Now, the dogs would have been a symbol of the Romans. They called Gentiles dogs. And so he's saying, listen, those Gentiles, they're the wicked, and they pierced my hands and feet. They're the ones that drove the nails. They're the one that used the spear. I skip verse 12. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. That would have been the Jews. They're the ones that were around him and that caused it all in the first place. You see, they were saying, listen, Jesus stripped naked, beaten, poured out, hands and feet pierced, all because of who he was. And you know, back when I read the scripture a few moments ago about poured out like water and he talks about being so, verse 15, my strength is dried up like a potsherd, my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, that's brought me unto the dust of death. Dehydration was a part of the crucifixion. A body hanging on a cross dehydrated quickly. And you remember in John, one of the sayings of Jesus from the cross, I thirst. I thirst. And they took that reed with the vinegar stuff on it and stuck it up there, put it sort of on a sponge to touch it to his lips. Was that not a part of the song that you just sang? You see, Jesus suffered tremendously. And David writes about it so early on. And then in verse 18 of Psalm 22, they part my garments among them, cast lots upon my vesture. And over in the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verses 23 and 24, then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments, made four parts to every soldier a part, also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Now, amazing. David, along about the year 1000 B.C., prophesied that they're going to divide his clothing and they're going to cast lots for part of it. Amazing that God so revealed exactly what was going to take place on that cross long before it ever happened. And you see, what's amazing, and I was listening to a pastor, Bible teacher recently, and he said he doesn't see how any Jew that really understood and believed the Old Testament could ignore Jesus being the Messiah. Because if you take the three passages of Scripture that I've shared with you in the last 3 weeks, and you see about Jesus, the Passover lamb, about being bruised for our iniquity, the chastisement of our peace be upon him in Isaiah, by his stripes we are healed, and we take all of these different scriptures here and compare exactly with what took place on the day of the crucifixion on Calvary, how can you put the two together and not believe? I mean, when God says, this is the way it's going to be, this is what's going to happen, and you find it so exact, there when he talks about piercing hands and feet, as I said, when David wrote that, nobody had ever heard of a crucifixion. And yet, nails and hands and feet pierced. So that God was telling us exactly what was going to happen. Now, when you go to the, I think it's the last verse of Psalm 22, it says, they shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. And that's what's been happening for the last 2,000 years. The people have gone all over the world and said that by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous, sinless Son of God, our faith and our belief in him can lead us into righteousness. Our faith and belief in him can make us righteous. And that good news is being spread around the world. Now, it's not going fast enough. It's not going far enough. But it's going. As I was telling last week, a friend of ours who's a missionary in South America was sending out some of his natives to something like 16 new tribes that had never heard the gospel there in Colombia and Ecuador and Venezuela. And he was going out, and he's going out, and he's got five radio stations now that broadcast out across the mountains in those regions. And it's basically all day long. I mean, those people don't have much communication, but they can have a battery-operated radio that can be recharged by the sun. And he provides the radios, and maybe not be but one radio in each village. But the people can hear the gospel in their own language all day long. And as I said last week about that, what if one of those villages is the last one before Jesus returns? David says the good news of the gospel is going to be preached all over the world about the righteousness of this one that died on the cross. David had never seen a cross, but he realized that God was going to do a special work that was going to lead people to salvation. I like verse 30. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. Aren't you glad you're a part of that? You're a part of that seed. You're a part of that group that serve the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I can't imagine life without Jesus. I can't imagine life without knowing I'm saved, I'm forgiven, I'm on my way to glory. You know, a moment ago I asked you, could you prophesy something 1,000 years from now and be true? One thing I can prophesy 1,000 years from now, all of us that know Jesus, we're going to be with Him. We're going to be serving with Him. Now, it's depending on when He comes back, we will, might still be in the millennium. And what does the Bible talk about? He's faithful over little. I'll make ruler over 10 cities or whatever. You might be mayor of Oakboro. I don't know what you're going to be doing. But God is building a kingdom. God is doing a work through the Lord Jesus Christ. And David says there's a remnant that's going to be serving Him. Now our hearts go out to those that say, I don't want anything to do with Jesus. And if there's somebody listening to me, whether in this building or in the parking lot or on the website, please don't say no to Jesus. He died on that cross for your sin. Now you see, the thing is, one of the sad, remorseful thoughts of everybody in hell is going to be this. Jesus paid for my salvation, but I didn't take it. Jesus paid for it, but I turned it down. You know, from time to time, we'll go out to eat with somebody and they'll pay for my meal or mine and Pamela's meal. Well, when they do, I don't jump up there and say, well, I'm going to pay again. I just say, thank you. Well, Jesus has already paid for our salvation. All we have to do is receive it. To confess that He died in my place and I'm a sinner. But I know that He died and I know that He rose again and I choose Him as my personal Lord and Savior. And there's no need for us to go to hell and pay for it again. But many will, and they'll spend an eternity saying, I blew it, I blew it, I blew it, I blew it, I blew it. I didn't have to be here. I could have been there. You see, David told us Jesus was going to be forsaken so that we would not be forsaken. Jesus was going to be forsaken so that we could be loved. Jesus was going to be forsaken so that we could be forgiven. Jesus was going to be forsaken for a few moments so that we could spend an eternity with Him and the Father in heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. For such a wonderful, marvelous gift of love. Forsaken, ridiculed, pierced, beaten, so that we could kneel at His feet, say, King of kings and Lord of lords, I love You. I thank You. I receive You. And you know, as I prayed in my opening prayer, Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. And one day every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is King of kings and Lord of lords. And sometimes I sort of picture it, something like this. Jesus is there on the throne, and over here are all the angels, and they're praising him, King of kings, Lord of lords. Over here are all the saved of all generations, praising him, King of kings and Lord of lords. Over here are all the lost people that refused him. They're still on their knees saying, King of kings and Lord of lords. And over here's the devil and all of his cohorts. They're on their knees saying, King of kings and Lord of lords. I know there's gnashing of teeth and grunting and groaning, and they hate it. But they're still saying, Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. Well, I'm glad I'm in that crowd over there. Aren't you? And I pray that the desire of our heart is to move as many from this crowd to that crowd. And if you know family or friends that do not know Jesus Christ, don't just give it the idea, well, okay, maybe they'll be good enough to make it in. No. The only way to glory is through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the only way. You can't be good enough. God doesn't grade on a curve and say, well, okay, we'll put, Putin and Hitler and Stalin and Mussolini and all those guys, they're so bad that they're going to pull the curve way down, and I don't have to be too good to get in. It doesn't work that way. It all comes down to our faith in Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. That's all that matters. 1,000 years before the cross, the Holy Spirit, some way speaking to David, said, put these things down. I doubt David understood it all. But he said, well, if that's what you want me to write, that's what I'll write. And David explained so many things that point us right to Calvary to help us to understand the coming of Jesus was not a last minute thought. It was not God's plan B or C or D. What does the scripture say? He was slain before the foundation of the world. God knew all along we're going to mess up and we're going to need a Savior. And Jesus stepped forward as the Son of, and said, I'll be that Savior. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus, for your love for us. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment? Is there anyone listening to me today who does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? If you're in this building, would you just walk down this aisle and we'll talk with you after the service about your need for Jesus. If you're in the parking lot, would you flag down a Christian as we come out the doors? Talk to them about your need to be saved. If you're listening on the website, would you call me or some Christian friend and let them lead you in the plan of salvation? It's too important. God planned it. God prophesied it. And it happened exactly as the way God said it was going to happen. Don't begin to doubt it. Don't let the devil talk you into doubting it. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to the Father except through me. Peter, preaching to the Jewish people, said that neither is there any other name whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus. Please don't turn down Jesus. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He died for you. Receive him and be glorified in him. He was righteous, and through him we become righteous. Father, I pray for every person that's listening that we'll understand how much you love us. You told us how it was going to be, and so then when it happened, it all came true just as you prophesied. And Father, I pray that nobody that's listening to me will ever go to hell. That's not your plan. That's not your desire. And I pray, Father, that the Spirit of the living God will convict and draw men and women and boys and girls to salvation. Father, I thank you that you work in hearts in ways that we can't even begin to understand. But thank you for your marvelous love. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his countenance shine upon you. May he give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming. Thank you for getting me.